Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Haven Rugby League Fans podcast, brought to you by the Whitehaven Independent Supporters Trust, Trust in Haven. The season's all done and dusted now, finished just a week, just fortnight ago. So plenty to talk about, plenty to reflect upon. And to do that today, we welcome along as our guest today, former our rugby league reporter from Radio Cumbria and Whitehaven fan, John Cox. Welcome along, John.
Morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good on this damp and dreary morning. But anyway, that's That's not a lot we can do about. And as always, joining us from the sunnier climates of Greater Manchester, it's Haven fan in exile, Paul Stubbs. Welcome along, Paul.
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Okay, good stuff. So where do we start? Start at the end, I suppose, and look at the final league table, which I've been looking at, and really, if I mean my take on it would be that if Whitehaven was a cat, we probably used our nine lives and maybe a few more. Looking at the league table, let's read what at the start it was always the case that survival was the main thing and anything else was a bonus. When you look at the final league table of 14 teams, Whitehaven finished 12th, 27 games played, 8 wins, 19 defeats, 481 points for, 809 against, points difference of -328. And that, at the end of the day, was the crucial statistic, John.
It was indeed, wasn't it? And I remember that. I'll never forget the afternoon, because in all my time, and it's been a long, long time at Whitehaven, I don't think we've ever come down to that sort of margin before.
Absolutely.
Or been up at that margin, to get in a playoff or something. But my heartbeat certainly suffered that afternoon. I had the television on for something or other. I can't remember what it was, without a sound. I had the Swinton game on as broadcast from the BBC. But of course, I couldn't find any broadcast for the London game. So all I'd got was my little handheld whatever to find out what the score is there. And I know fine well, of course, that often it's behind what it should be. You know, they've got to have time to get these things up and so on.
Yes.
Every now and again, I thought, that's it. That really is it. We got literally, last 10 or 15 minutes, and they still needed to score another try, London, in order to save us and so on. Because what was going through my head was, but they don't have to, because they've won, and that's what they set out to do today. Halifax are getting beat, and they're getting beat, unfortunately, by the other side, who could have gone down. Not that I want Swinton to go down, right? But the fact was that it was a hairy afternoon. But I suppose, we got there and the big man was on our side that we were lucky. We were lucky.
Yeah, for that we should be thankful. What about you, Paul? Where were you
and
what were your thoughts as it unfolded?
I was it at work? No, I wasn't at work. And on the Saturday, I remember on the Saturday when we played Toulouse, I was actually at Radcliffe watching Radcliffe, and I had the BBC commentary in my ear, as you well know, Dave.
Yes.
Because Radcliffe were playing Worksop and we got away with it. I phoned Dave, and while I was on the phone to Dave, Radcliffe scored, so it was like bedlam. So it was, but the Sunday, I was flirting between, I was here. I was flirting between on the phone and on my tablet, flirting between scores. But like we say, like John says, the London game, you couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
And all you got was either flash scores or BBC scores. And it was behind. So, I mean, for Swindon to get that result at Halifax was unbelievable, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, we were at Swindon the week before when Whitehaven, not for the first time this season, had the game there for the taking and contrived to blow it. With mistakes and that. So after that game, I think we thought, well, Swinton won't win at Halifax. But that's exactly what happened, just to really ratchet the pressure up. So I've been out out and about from 3 o'clock onwards, just a couple of things to do. So I came back in at 4 o'clock, put me phone on and put the laptop on, and it didn't look good. It didn't look good at half time in them games. But anyway, things worked in our favour just. And as I say, for that we can be grateful, and we live to fight another day in the championship. Or do we? Yeah, you know what's happening, and that's maybe something we can come on to later on in our chat.
I think Dave, it's worthwhile saying that game on the Saturday would never have happened in football, of course.
Yeah, good point, John.
The three teams are all playing, and they turned out to be playing at different times, even on the Sunday. They were playing at different times because of the hold-up. But certainly not on different days. That would never have happened. But as it did happen, I thought it was excuse me. I thought it was one of our best displays of the season, actually, against a team of that quality. And the second half, we outscored them and we outplayed them. And I thought that was excellent. And for a team that was absolutely riddled with injuries by then I think that was no King there, big Mrs. King. You know, he's a big lump, and he runs hard.
He leads from the front, doesn't he? Yeah.
He does, yeah. He never flinches. And, of course, he's signed up for the next season. Well,
yeah.
So hopefully he'll be fit then, and he'll be playing. And there were others that were injured as well. And to only go down by that small amount to lose. You know, if we'd gone down by 30 points, then I wouldn't have added an eyelid, quite frankly, because they're a very good side. But we matched them and were as good as they were
in that second half.
And we deserved a reward for that, and we got it.
Yeah, it was a great effort, wasn't it?
Well, well done to the coaching staff and the players for not giving in, for showing real sort of fight, grit, and determination when it really was required.
But of course, we in those last games. I mean, the last 11 games, we lost 10 of them.
Yes.
The last 10 games of the day, we lost 10 games.
Yes.
The only one we won, I think, was Sheffield, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I saw Mark Aston, and we're all, adversaries in the past, knows a bit of barbs and so on. And after the game, and of course, by then, we'd done the double on, because we won there as well. We won in Sheffield. It was the only double we did, I think, wasn't it? And he was not a happy lad, but he said to me, he said, hey, that could be the difference between you staying up and going down. And he was right.
And he was absolutely 100% right, yeah. I didn't realise that statistic until you said it there, John, but as I say, there were so many times in the closing weeks of the season, we said, we need just another result or we need another point. And it never came, did it? Which just made the pressure so much more at the end, you know.
I mean, the Swindon game was unbelievable, wasn't it, Dave?
Yeah.
I mean, for two games, we threw games away. Barrow, we threw it away.
Yeah.
And the Swindon game, we threw it away because they just didn't play the sets out. They tried offloading when they weren't meant to offload.
Lord, yeah.
And it was simple rugby problems. Yeah.
There's a time, Stubby, isn't there, for you take the ball, and as soon as a fellow looks at you, you fall down with it.
Yeah, and well, I do anyway.
The next man, and when you're the last man, you bang it down that field. You know, simple stuff. Yeah. And the Barrow one was exactly the same. And for some reason, you know, Duran tried the chip over the top. I mean, he said afterwards, you know, well, there was a hole there and I was going to get a try. Well, I don't think so. not from our 30-yard line. So.
Yeah. Not for the size of him and the hole that was there.
That's right. And the fact that he'd laid on that night, one of the best tries I'd seen in a long, long time. Brilliant try, you know. Yeah. And then it happened to be him that did it. I felt really sorry for the man, you know, because it really could have cost us that one. And they got. Actually, there were an awful lot of Barrow people saying to me that they tried three drop goals, got the final one, but that the second one actually went over. And they were moaning like hell about that. But then they stopped moaning as soon as the third one
went over. Then.
Yeah. Well, after the Swinton game, if you Johnsy's reaction to it, he summed it up in one. I felt so sorry for the guy. Yeah, I really did. Because obviously he sat there, he can't do anything.
No.
And my heart just went out to him.
Whatever we were feeling and experiencing as fans, it must have been a factor of 10, you know, more for Jonty in the playing staff.
As the lad said, I keep saying the same thing and they keep doing the opposite. And, you know, and what more do I say? What can I say to them? So, poor lad. And I mean, I think he's a very, very good coach, actually, considering what he's got.
Undoubtedly.
He has not got the quality of players that, you know, that you all of us three can think back to, you know, the great Kiwi trio that used to run the game for us all the time, you know. And on top of that, you know, so many injuries this season that it was unbelievable. And let's hope that that doesn't happen next season. I hear that, there's one Aussie on his way, isn't there? Will Evans. Will's been signed. And I'm glad about that. I think he's a decent player as well. And he could well be a good asset to the team, as he was before. But I'm told there's another two Bishop's Aussies gone lined up.
Oh, right. I don't know. No, Bishop's gone to Keighley.
Well, has he gone there?
Yeah, that's he's
according to Keighley.
According to Keighley, yeah.
Him and Lachlan Lansky are both moved over to York.
Well, I was talking to Bish about maybe a month ago, and I was looking at his knee and I said to him, "Is that going to recover? You know, at all?" And he looked at me and said, "I work hard." And I said, "Well, you carry on, son. And I hope it does." But it didn't look good to me, I've got to say.
I
feel really sorry for the kid because he didn't have a history of injuries out in Australia. He didn't have an injury, you know, a long injury list or anything. It was only the odd niggle and so on. Then suddenly got one of the worst you could possibly get, and in the last tackle of a game. You know, that was so sad for him. Yeah. And if he can play, and he can play down at Keighley, then great, because he's a good little player. And
he is indeed.
Well, yeah. But we need another halfback. And we need a few props as well.
I was going to say, props are short on them, isn't it?
Well, there's three big enough doing this podcast to be props, isn't there?
Oh, yes. maybe quite... Not fit enough.
Might be on the slow side, one or two.
Well, yeah,
absolutely.
I think if I took my boots out the wardrobe, they might fall to bits now, John.
In shock.
But
it is it's a big factor, isn't it? How many injuries you get in the season, and of course the size of your squad. Can you fill the holes? Can you get? Well, some weeks, of course, he wasn't even filling the holes.
Of course, that's right.
He had three to put on the bench. He was putting four on the bench, and knowing fine well that one of them couldn't even hobble out. Never mind play properly, you know, and so on. But of course, one or two things have changed. There's a new board in place, of course. Not that I know. And, you know, I used to know them all intimately, of course, because they used to shout at me when I worked down there. But now, I don't know many of these people now. But I really hope, you know, they've been good enough to stand up and grasp the net.
Well, I think, I think what I would say to that, John, is that they are all genuine, committed, loyal supporters of the club. So, you know, whatever they do, they'll do in the best in what they see as the best interest of the club. And, you know, we can only hope that whatever decisions they make, it works out for them, you know. So
I heard the chairman doing an interview recently, and I was quite impressed. I was quite impressed because he was an ordinary fellow who really loved the club. And I want somebody like you in charge. And of course, we've got a chairman. We haven't had a chairman for ages, have we? As far as I know,
not for the last couple of seasons. So yeah. So things are changing, and hopefully changing for the best down at the recreation. Yeah. But anyway,
and also this the new sponsors, of course.
Yes. Depending, I mean. They've clearly come in and supported the club significantly. How much that will be in the future, I suppose, remains to be seen. But the early indications are that they're backing their sponsorship will make a significant difference to the to the finances of the club. So so that's positive as well. Coming back the season, as I say, we'll all remember the final couple of months of the season for all them reasons we've talked about, and perhaps hope that we don't find ourselves in that position ever again. But just reflecting back on the season, any other highlights and any other points in the season which you thought were noteworthy, which you thought were memorable, John?
I mean, just have a little look. I wrote down this morning the teams that we actually beat.
Yes.
They were class teams, some of them.
Yes.
You know, okay, we beat Newcastle. Mind you, that loss at Newcastle was disastrous. But we did beat them at our place. But other than them, all the others were fairly tough nuts, you know.
That's right.
With the double, as I said before, over Sheffield. There's not many teams do that. Sheffield.
Yeah.
We beat York. We beat Barrow and we beat Widnes.
That's right.
That Widnes one was reasonably late on in the season, wasn't it? And was crucial in the end. And they played very, very well that day, I've got to say, and against Sheffield as well, you know.
Yeah.
It was pretty tough. Yeah. And it's a pity that with both injuries and the pay dispute, that we lost one or two of our bigger lives.
Our key players, you would say, but anyway,
of course, I was
actually at the Widnes game, and I was stood with Dave, and I said, I think I said at the time, I said, that was a fantastic, but I think we could have turned the corner here, and it all went pear-shaped after that.
Yeah. I blame you. I did it.
Yeah, it's my fault. I get blamed for everything, mate.
Paul, do not come again, please. We can't have you come at a match.
Put the barriers up.
Indeed. Yeah.
Check his passport.
From my point of view, I thought the win at Barra at Easter was. Yeah. Barra were touting themselves as your Cumbria Super League club in waiting, and they were the team, and we went there and really did a job on them, and I look back on that and think, well, if we'd have managed to keep everything going and everything intact, that's the level we could have played at. And if we'd have done that, we could have been, if not top six, very near it anyway. Yeah.
Like my old mate Stan Martin always used to say to me, John, you know, at our level, the vast majority of this game is in the top 3 inches of your head. And if you've got the right attitude and, you know, you've got a reasonable amount of skill and you're well coached and so on, you'll win matches. Dead right. You know, it is, and you could see it in the second half against Toulouse, how the lads had been inspired at half time because some of the leading players had their say. Jonty had his say, and they came out and they did it with the top 3 inches in their head, and they did it properly. And, you know, if you can do that and get a real, because we did last season as well, we got a real feeling of camaraderie amongst the team, then that will beat quite a few sides.
Unfortunately,
we've lost quite a few now this season, now, haven't we?
That's right. The club have announced who's leaving. Some not some not unexpected, others more so. I mean, Chris Taylor moving on was perhaps
bit of a shock, really.
A surprise to me, yeah.
I don't know what Chris is doing, actually. I mean, is he going to another club?
Well, he's gone to work. He's gone to Workington.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and...
Well, that explains a lot. That explains why he doesn't answer my texts at the moment. Because they're good mates, actually. We used to,
yes.
I used to have him working in schools with me and so on, you know.
Yeah.
And I know him very well, actually, off the field. And,
yeah, yeah.
That does explain a lot.
He's been a good servant to the club and thoroughly deserved his testimonial. But he looks like he's decided it's time to move on, and he's joining Workington as is Dave Eccleston. So yeah, so
well, Eccleston's was a very odd affair, wasn't it?
Yeah,
a very odd affair. I thought, in the middle of the season.
Yeah,
middle of a season with the Workington shirt on in a photograph. I know some of the rules, and I know that one.
So yeah, as I say, some players have resigned this week. Connor Holliday, who's been a really solid player for the club over a number of years now.
It would be a testimonial if you went through this season. I think
he may well be the next one to have a testimonial done. And as you say, that will be a fitting reward for the service and commitment he's shown.
Yeah, you remember him when he first came, and he played his first match in the centre.
Right,
and he's like a stick. A stick.
There's nothing of him, was there?
Yeah.
Another good product from Kells, of course. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
He's put a bit of timber on, and he's better for it, to be honest with you.
Indeed.
Yeah. talking of Kells products, to me, I think one of the players who I would commend this year is Kells, the signing from Kells, Ross Ainley, the prop forward.
The young Ainley, yes.
Who fitted in, and he had overseas players. Battling him for selection and things like that, but he got in and he earned his place and he kept in on merit. Would you agree?
Indeed, he had to learn big lessons very quickly from the amateur game, because it's a much harder game, and he did exactly that. I agree with you. I thought he was excellent this season. He really was, and he'll be better next season.
And I'd like to think local community, players in the local community game seeing Ross Ainley will say, well, I'd like to do that. I want to do that. So I think it's good for the lad, and hats off to him, but I think it's significant for the club with its, with its future recruitment policies, that they can hold up Ross as an example of what you can do.
Well, I can hold up one a local team, but I won't name him because it would spoil this, that, and the other. And I don't even know whether they're approaching him again. But there's one player who would make a hell of a difference to the wider.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, gentlemen, just a quickie. I've just come through now. I've had the season ticket prices for next season.
Yeah.
Right. Early bird prices, £200. And £165 for concessions. If you get them before the 20th of October, after the 20th of October, it's £240 and £180.
They're pushing the luck there.
Yeah, and a junior season ticket is £30.
Yeah. No, they're pushing the luck there. They're pretty hefty, to say the least. Yeah, I mean, if people couldn't pay for it now and had to wait until later, and we're paying, what was it, 200?
It's £240.
Yeah, 200.
So you look, I reckon you're looking at £25 to get in next season.
Yeah. Now that will have a drastic effect on.
Yeah. I wasn't planning on introducing that into the subject matter today, but I think it's desperately important because the club obviously needs to maximize its revenue and help its cash flow, but I just wonder If that's going to achieve the aim, you know, I mean, the early bird tickets should reflect a pretty good saving, and I mean, you know, any money they're getting now is helps the cash flow over a pretty barren period. So,
well, I'm just wondering if that's going to be the going rate through the Championship this season. Because yeah. Bradford are already charging 25 quid, aren't they? And I'm wondering whether that's going to be the going rate.
Yeah. I say, you know, that everybody's got an opinion on it. I mean, I'm happy to go and pay on the gate and just pay as I go. I say, paying for a season ticket could be beneficial to me, but it would also be beneficial to the club. So, you know, lots of factors to take into account, I suppose. And you know, I suppose you make your decision and you live, but you know, live by that.
It's one of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's pointless me getting a season ticket because obviously I only get to a handful of games anyway.
Yes.
I get to more away games than the home games usually.
Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah. That's right. But it's a fair old whack these days when, you know, things are as they are.
Well, that's right.
In the economy.
Cost of living and energy and stuff like that, the energy prices, it all works against people spending money on things like coming to watch the local rugby league team. And it's not easy. It's not easy to come up with the right formula, with the right solutions.
No, it certainly isn't. And I suppose there's another way of looking at it in that there is a right formula. You win matches. People turn up after you win
matches. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It says it all. I'm going to talk football now, unfortunately, but it says it all at Radcliffe. 3-4 years ago, we were getting 200-300 at a game. We're top of the league. Just like to put that one in. And we're getting over 1,000 every game.
Yeah. Well, you look at Workington Reds when they got.
Unfortunately, Radcliffe beat Workington Reds, but we're not going to.
We weren't going to mention that.
No. We're not mentioning that.
No, I'm an avid Workington Reds fan. I'm a Reds fan as a kid. Moffat's buses, the Moa Dave, you know.
Who can forget this? Yeah.
If you only got 1,000 there, then you were doing very badly indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
I was there with 21,000 on it, playing United. 3 weeks before the crash, I remember. Yeah. But back to us.
Digressing. Let's go back to rugby.
So
we get this right for next season on the financial front, and we're not worrying about that and VAT returns and income tax and all that sort of thing. You know, I know it's a bind and it's a huge thing to deal with, but I've dealt with it down there. And get it right. Let's hope the sponsors, you know, we play properly with them. You know, and give them the sort of publicity that they deserve for putting money into the club. And from then on, if you haven't got those sort of worries, the only worries you've got are on the field, not off it.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Focus all the energies and hard work on there. So anyway, just as I say, we've half an hour's gone very quickly there, and I say, Bruno, just one last thing I wanted to see is. The demise or the stand down from London Scholars has thrown the Championship, has thrown professional rugby league outside of Super League into a bit of a turmoil. What's your thoughts on what should happen? I mean, it seems the initial meeting this week ended up with the status quo being declared, and there will be a Championship and there will be a League One next year. What your comments on that, John?
Well, am I right in thinking there will be 9 teams in Division One?
That's the problem. Eight to one nonsense. Games.
It's nonsense. I mean, who in their right mind would set up a league from scratch like that? They wouldn't. Nobody would. No. And of course, everybody at headquarters in Rugby League are in the right mind. I know they are. Yeah. We need to look at this and look at it very quickly. And quite honestly, 1 week for me.
We've said that.
I mean, in League One, you've got a significant player or a significant factor in what's happening at Oldham, where they seem to have got their act together, and there's significant investment coming into the club. Likewise, I think Hunslet are probably a club that's that could push for things, and you've got Keith Lee and Newcastle coming down. So there's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, potentially four clubs that probably deserve some support and some positive thinking, if that's the way to describe it. That I say, to have a competition where you've eight home games, them clubs there's only one way for them to go, isn't it? And that's out of existence.
Look at it this way, Dave and John. You are sorting your finances out for the season.
Yeah.
You've got Workington, who've got to go to Cornwall.
Yeah.
You've got Newcastle, who've got to go to Cornwall.
Yeah.
Right? Cornwall have then got to go to Newcastle. Cornwall have got to go to Workington. Yeah. Two of the longest trips.
Yeah.
You could make
rugby league.
Yeah,
apart from going to France.
I mean, the more you look at Cornwall, the more it appears just to be a vanity exercise from the rugby league, to be honest. Because as I say, it's created so many problems.
I think the rugby league have got to look at this and say, look, anybody who's going to Cornwall or Cornwall going to Newcastle, they've got to subsidise the travel.
Yes.
The Rugby League have got to pay the travel expenses.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's more teams going to go pop.
Yeah. Of course they are. Of course they are.
They really are.
Yep.
Yeah, anyway. John. Sorry, yeah.
One league, for me, now that there's so few in
Division
One, league, and as Stubbsy says, you've got to start subsidising some of the clubs who are travelling those sort of massive distances.
I think if the rugby league are looking to support and encourage and help their member clubs, the only decision that can come to is one league in the final analysis. They've had the initial meeting this week, but as we know in rugby league, things can and do change very quickly. So let's see how that develops over the next few weeks. Yeah.
And I can't comprehend what they're thinking. I haven't got a clue. Mm. There's just no logic in it at all.
That's not the first time, mate, is it?
No. I think we should send a copy of this to the rugby league. And say, look, there's three people on here who are talking with their head screwed on.
Yeah.
I think you should take note of this.
I think there are one or two people in the hierarchy of rugby league who say, no, Coxie's not there. He doesn't talk any bloody sense. Not for years and years.
Yeah. Yeah.
He travels all the way to Whitehaven from Manchester to watch Whitehaven, so he's not got his head screwed on.
He's crackers. Yeah.
Anyway, on that note, time's running out, guys, and it's been a really informative, enjoyable, and maybe even controversial half an hour where we've chewed the fat. And so thanks, everybody, for joining us today. Thank you, John. Thanks for coming along to this edition of the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast. We'll maybe catch up with you over the close season and just see where things are going as we go over the winter. And wish Stubby all the best today and Radcliffe Borough in the... No, it's a cup game today, Stubby.
Cup game. Whitby at home today.
Yeah. All right. So, So thanks to everybody for joining us today. You've been listening to the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast, brought to you by the Whitehaven Independent Supporters Trust, Trust in Haven. If you want to know more about Trust in Haven, go to our website, trustinhaven.com, and you can contact us via email at trustinhaven@gmail.com. Thanks, guys. Enjoy what you're doing today. Enjoy what you're doing over the next few weeks. There is some rugby league next week. Cumbria versus Wales at the Recreation Ground next Friday. So if you go to that, enjoy it, and we'll no doubt catch up with everyone very soon. Bye for now, everybody.
Bye.
See ya. Okay.
No, it's still record.
Well, folks, that's all for another episode of Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast. Produced by Trust in Haven, the Whitehaven Rugby League Independent Supporters Trust. Hope you enjoyed it and will join us for our next podcast. To find out more, visit our website at www.trustinhaven.com.